Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. It is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, getting the early call today to fill in for Doug. And this is going to be great, Mike, because I can talk about Steph Curry being a system quarterback the entire show, and Doug can do nothing about it. I can sit here and go, system quarterback, overrated, system quarterback. And Doug can do nothing. He can't do anything. This is going to be the best. This is going to be the best day ever. This is the greatest day. This is like that song from the Lego movie. It's going to be the greatest day ever.
Or it's SpongeBob, or many different best day ever songs that you could possibly pull up. No question about it. Doesn't mean I won't go after you about the system quarterback take. But here's the thing. You have to respect the fact that Doug puts his name on it. It's not the anonymous, someone could just throw out a lazy Steph as a system quarterback thing, throw it in columns and whatever. It's like, no, attribute it to Jason Smith. He wouldn't say it across 600 local affiliates, SiriusXM Channel 83, the iHeartRadio app, if he didn't want you to put his name on it.
You saw that online today, did you? See, when I say takes are taken from us all, it happens.
But the point is, if you want to be pejorative and you want to be derisive and take your shots, that's what we're here for. Positive, negative, we try to make you think, try to make you feel. But if you're going to use it, put our names on it. SMITHHARMON. Here we are in for Doug, and that's the one thing you appreciate about Doug Gottlieb. Anybody that's followed his career, he puts his name on it.
Speaking of putting your name on it, right? Like we always say, we're going to get an Aaron Rodgers story every single day until he's traded. I mean, every day. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Or he's not.
It's just like the Brett Favre drama in 2008 when he was told he could come back, but he's got to win the job away from Aaron Rodgers, which forced Brett Favre out of Green Bay into the Jets. Every day, it was a Brett Favre story. Every single day. Brett Favre is thinking this. The Packers are thinking this. Aaron Rodgers thinks this. Every single day. And that's the way it is now. Every single day since the NFL draft, there has been an Aaron Rodgers quote or development or something having to do with him wanting out of Green Bay. And today is no different. All right, today is absolutely no different because the two stories today, and this is going to hit you right between the eyes, you talk about the future without Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay is going to look like, is that there are reports out of NFL media that the relationship between Aaron Rodgers and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, is what's really driving Aaron Rodgers away from Green Bay. It's a personal situation, and it's something that this is what can't be solved. So this is what we're finding out today. It's really at Rodgers in the front office, which we knew it was kind of that way. It wasn't Rodgers and his teammates. It was how the game was being handled. And
right
then
now, I can wallpaper the rooms of my house.
Yes, exactly. A couple of times.
Story at this point.
you could wallpaper it and then decide you don't like it and then take it down and put up new wallpaper, decide you don't like that and take it down. It's almost like
it's the airing of grievances every day.
It's like when you see the cop movies when they're going after the big suspect and they have the big wall with all the headlines on, spotted here, so-and-so here, so-and-so, and they're trying to, and they have the push pins with the string connecting the dots and all that.
Oh, yeah.
You could do that on your wall for all the Aaron Rodgers stories.
No, so it's good, too.
So we have that part today, and then we have this from Matt LaFleur doing a press conference and talking about certain things with the team and mainly signing Blake Bortles, because now Blake Bortles is going to be in camp along with Jordan Love. Right now, they're the only two quarterbacks on the roster that we know are going to be there. And so how are things going to go? Well, listen to Matt LaFleur prop up Blake Bortles, unlike anything you've heard since he was drafted by the Jaguars all those years ago.
Anytime you come in to an offseason, we only have two quarterbacks on a roster. You're always going to have three, if not four guys, typically in your offseason program and into training camp. And, this is a guy that's started a lot of games and has had a lot of success. And he led his team to the AFC Championship game. And, they were close to knocking off the Patriots in New England.
Now, that's a hot take. He's had a lot of success. Blake Bortles has had a lot of success. That may be the hottest take you'll hear all day, and this is a radio station. Hottest take you're going to hear. He had a lot of success.
How much time he spent going over that CV just to make sure he didn't stumble, stutter, smirk, have any kind of body language where people could say, wow, he's really selling this one hard?
Blake Bortles had 1 year where he won more than five games. I mean, 1 year. So having a lot of success, that's kind of...
Brought home a lot of fantasy
okay.
titles.
Yeah. He did that year in 2015. I had him. I won my main league thanks to Blake Bortles.
Man. Yes, come on now.
He did. He had a lot of success. Yes, he's had a lot of success, except not really any success. Here's the dire reality for the Packers when you think about where they're headed with this divorce with Aaron Rodgers being inevitable, right? They're going to have to go forward with Jordan Love and Blake Bortles as their quarterback. And you know Jordan Love isn't good, right? We know this. We know that he was a whiff on a draft pick. He didn't make any dent into anything a year ago. You're going to try to go win games with Jordan Love or Blake Bortles, all right? You tell me how this team isn't in the running for the number one overall pick in the draft next season if this is your team with no
Johnny Ramos. We need that flaming dumpster right now.
And an incredibly difficult schedule because the Packers' schedule is one of the top. When I saw that come out this week, I said, oh, good luck trying to navigate this without Aaron Rodgers. Now, the Packers have some talent, but you are talking about replacing the guy who was the NFL MVP with guys who are either a retread or someone who you know we can't put this guy out there. Or if we put this guy out there, we're just going to get creamed every single week. The Packers are going to be picking at the top of the NFL draft next season in 2022 if they don't have Aaron Rodgers this year. Even though they have good players surrounding you. You got a decent running back in Aaron Jones. You got a really good wide receiver, Devontae Adams. Hey, that's not bad. But you are talking about taking out a great quarterback and replacing it with something that has just the potential to be such the biggest NFL train wreck you could possibly see. I mean, this could fail so spectacularly in so many ways. Now, it would work out because then they could draft Sam Howell next year or Keaton Slovis. They can get one of those guys, but
oh, you
got to
get Slovis in, didn't you?
It would be spectacularly awful for the Packers because that's where this is going to go because this schedule is incredibly difficult. I don't even know that they'll be favored in a game. Will they win a couple of games? Sure, they'll win a couple of games, but will they be favored to win? Will they win more than two or three games? No, this is a team that could be picking first in the 2022 NFL draft without Aaron Rodgers.
That is hot take theater at its finest. So I'm glad I'm here and I can talk to you directly about that take that I'm sure many people... You can't go to Wisconsin now, by the way.
I never could go to Wisconsin.
Well, I know, but you go to the Midwest for Christmas break sometimes and you're in Michigan and maybe you would have gotten the urge to get into Wisconsin, maybe to go see a game at some point. Right now, your picture is going to be on a bunch of telephone poles at the border. Do not let this guy in. No muskrat dinners or cheese for him. yeah, that's right. Delicacies, as we talk on a Friday lunchtime here West Coast time. Look, I like that you made Aaron Jones pretty good. Come on, he's a top 10 running back.
He's good. He's
brought in A.J. Dillon.
Mm-hmm.
Not J.J. Dillon from the Four Horsemen, but A.J. Dillon. You got a solid defense. You still get to play the Lions twice. I like my chances.
Team you play will have a better quarterback than you. Every single team you play on that schedule has a better quarterback.
It is a daunting schedule. Jared Goff? Come on now. Look,
Jared Goff is a better quarterback. I never thought I'd say this. Jared Goff is better than somebody, but he is.
But here's the thing. We don't know about Jordan Love because there was no reason to give him number one reps when you got Aaron Rodgers there. All the other teams where these guys got elevated, they were at least getting some work. Right, and then obviously out here in Los Angeles, Justin Herbert got the, hey, we might have really just messed up our starter go. Because remember, he was going to be in mothballs. Anthony Lynn was never going to break glass and allow Justin Herbert to do a dang thing last year if something hadn't happened to Tyrod Taylor. You know it. I know it. Anybody that watched that team knows it. So that was a happy accident that he was ready to go. Otherwise, well, we don't know. But with Jordan Love, that never came. So we have no idea. Yeah. Unless you've got Zapruder film showing me Tim Tebow-like spin-the-ball throws going on, and you saw those all week long. I don't know what Jordan Love is, and the hope would be that he could ramp up. Meanwhile, you've got LaFleur and everybody else, while they're talking up the guys that are there, and that Bortles stuff, that is just gold. Absolute gold. By the way, he's got as many playoff wins as Rodgers since 2017. So take that. But it's the idea that he's still, while he's talking out of this one side of his mouth with the praise of these guys, he's also in begging mode. And you've got a lot of audio of that. And at this point, I like the idea that Dan Patrick floated. Why don't you just give Aaron Rodgers the GM seat, even if in name only? Here's a placard with your name. This guy won't be around. I know he's been with the organization a long time. We've reassigned him, and now it's time for you. But I still don't think Aaron Rodgers is going anywhere. But this is great theater in the interim, and if it allows us to prop up the 2015 Jacksonville Jaguars and Blake Bortles, I'm all for it.
How could you possibly think he's not going anywhere after all of this is happening? He is going out of his way to tell you, hey, this is not working. He's told people,
well,
hey, don't come
as soon
here
as soon
a free
as he
agent.
Has the guts to go into in front of a microphone and say something instead of all this back channel nonsense.
He knows he wants
put your name on it.
He's got his message out. He wants to continue to be the good guy, right?
He's not the good guy.
But he
looks like a petulant child.
But it doesn't matter. He wants out. Everybody knows he wants out. And he's going to sit at home until the Packers trade him.
And I'm sorry. The Packers tried to not have 2017 happen to them again.
Listen, if the Packers wanted that, they wouldn't have drafted Jordan. They wouldn't have traded up for Jordan Love in the first round.
No, that's what they did, was they were making sure there wasn't another Brent Hundley situation where everything went to hell after a 4-1 start if Rodgers got hurt. And he's got to be man enough to look in the mirror and recognize that.
Well, that's what tells me. Nah, that's what tells me that Jordan Love isn't ready, because the Packers drafted him to be the guy. You don't draft a guy to be a backup you don't trade up into the first round for a guy unless you want him to be the guy very soon, right? First round picks don't sit for years and years and years. So they did that knowing full well, hey, the sooner he can win the starting quarterback job, the faster we can get rid of Aaron Rodgers, right? These sides have not gotten along for a long time. And the fact that now the Packers are kind of backpedaling and saying things like, oh, well, we kind of have to keep Aaron. We don't want to trade him. We're going to have meetings with him. Tells me they know Jordan Love isn't ready. Because if Jordan Love was ready, they would say, yep, goodbye, Aaron. You watch us win next year without you. We can get a lot for you. Boy, look at what we're going to do, trading you to the Broncos or the Raiders or the Dolphins or everything else. Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding? Oh, we can do this trade right now. He'd have been gone. But the fact they haven't, they know they're stuck. They know they're absolutely stuck because he was a bad pick. And now everything that they wanted is coming true. They wanted this. They wanted to push Aaron Rodgers out. Now they're doing it, and they've done it. And he says, "I want out." And now they're backing up with a, "Well, that's really going to happen now, I guess." It's like, it's the old adage about what happens when the dog chases the car and catches the car. What are you going to do? It's like they've been doing it, and now they caught the car. And what are they going to do? Now they're stuck. They wanted this to happen, and now it's happening. And now they're having a little bit of buyer's remorse on it because their handpicked player isn't ready. Because if he was ready, they would say goodbye to Aaron Rodgers. They would get rid of him and they would say, hey, MVP, but we just got 4 first round picks and 2 really good defensive players and we got XYZ. And hey, we have rebuilt this Packers franchise, but they haven't done it because they know.
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that if even for 1% the drafting of Jordan Love spurred Aaron Rodgers to the season he had last year, then they did their job, right? Because the idea is eventually Jordan Love will be ready. Now, the nonsense they floated out about, hey, the wide receivers we wanted weren't there, you could have drafted the third guy. But instead, you draft Jordan Love. But you're also recognizing 2017, you're recognizing the collarbone injuries, you're recognizing that the touchdown passes had been down, and the play had some issues the prior 2 years. So he comes back and has an MVP year, and yeah, the contract was set up to be done after this year. You know what? Play it out. And then you get to that point and fight about it then. But if Jordan Love, and we talked about this on our show in the evenings, was I wanted to know from the draft evaluators where he ranked among the guys that got selected this year, because I would have flipped Jordan Love and said, see, problem solved, come on back, all the cheese you want for a lifetime.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. It is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, in for Doug today. I mean it, watch Packers with the first pick in the 2022 overall draft. The Green Bay Packers select Keaton Slovis, quarterback. I don't know why I'm doing David Stern. It should be more of
no
a Roger
idea.
Goodell. I don't know why.
You haven't perfected a, but you haven't really worked on a Goodell impression just yet. And you had many years of Stern. So, you know what?
Yeah.
For your weekend, that's your assignment. Start working on a Roger Goodell. But don't forget, you still have the Jets, the Houston Texans, and there's several other teams that we can throw down in the, hey, they'll still be worse than the Packers.
The Jets are going 14-3. What are we talking about?
Good God,
the Texans, I'll give you. They'll be right there. Oh, it's going to be a battle. The Texans will be right there.
No,
the Jets are going 14-3.
Look, your new quarterback – He's got so many mom issues that it's going to derail any of that hope for greatness.
Yeah, we will get to those mom issues coming up in about 25 minutes because that is a very big deal. The Jets quarterback. Well, the Jets quarterback, it seems like the Jets have quarterback mom issues, but we'll get to that. But watch out. Packers picking first.
Oh,
looking at that Sam Howell film. Start looking at that Spencer Rattler film. Start
but if
looking
Rogers
at guys.
But if Rodgers does leave, I do have a nice bottle of champagne I bought for the show. So we'll celebrate a glass there as he leaves the NFC North.
We got more NFL on the way. As coming up next, the biggest story of the week that I can't believe has as much legs as it does. The biggest NFL story of the week, everybody is missing the point on it. We'll get into that coming up next right here. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Welcome inside. It is the Doug Gottlieb Show. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon in for Doug today. And we'll have more on Aaron Rodgers coming up in a bit because I'll tell you what. Not only are the Packers going to pick first in the NFL draft without Aaron Rodgers, I'll be able to tell you what team Aaron Rodgers is going to start week one of the NFL season with. And here's a hint. It's going to make one person here at Fox Sports Radio extremely happy until I explain the reason why it's going to this team.
Oh.
And this person's dad is going to be happy in the beginning as well, and then even be a little bit more upset when it happens that way. How does that sound for a tease?
That is a pretty long tease, but it was a good tease because it really incorporated a lot of elements. We got family because we're all about bringing people together. We're about changing lives. And if this move were to happen, I'll tell you what, a lot of lives are affected. No question about
good.
It.
Look, all right, man. You sound like Mission Restaurant Impossible there. That's pretty good. We are not changing restaurants. We're changing lives.
Well, you know, I have been hitting the gym hard. Yeah, I've been hitting the gym hard. Yeah. I might add a line or two on my resume that's not entirely true, so we could, you know, have a lot of things in common. Let's go.
We're not just changing sports takes. We're changing lives. I believe in you. All right. So one of the biggest stories of the week in the NFL has been the comeback of Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
And I really am surprised. Well, actually, I'm somewhat surprised at the legs this story has right now before he's even hit the field. Because everybody is missing the point of this story. Everybody is. It's not about Colin Kaepernick and, oh, Tebow's got a job and Colin Kaepernick doesn't. This is not about, I saw this week that a very popular take from some NFL players was, see, it's about who you know. You know, it's about who you know, and Urban Meyer is going to give Tim Tebow a chance to make the team. And then other NFL players saying, I would bowl over Tim Tebow. I've been out of the league for 5 years. He's not going to come back after not playing for 7 seasons and make it as a tight end. He's going to get crushed. What's going to happen? This is going to destroy the locker room if you have Tim Tebow in here trying to win a job with the Jaguars. Everybody's missing the point at what this story is, and I can't get over it. I really can't, because this is why Tim Tebow was signed. It's not going to be a long-lasting story. This story is only going to be a couple of weeks long, because this is why Tim Tebow is signed with the Jaguars, or is going to sign with the Jaguars and get a chance to play tight end. Clearly, he can't come back and say, I want to come out and play quarterback and throw. But Tebow is now at the end of his career as an athlete. Right, the Mets let him go in baseball. He never had the real chance to say goodbye. Football has given him everything he has in his life. Right, whatever the next act of his career is after he is playing, football has given it all to him. Right, he was a star in Jacksonville in high school. He goes to Florida, and you know, for my money and what I've seen, probably the best college football player I've ever seen. College football, probably the best I've ever seen. Heisman Trophy, national championships, probably the best I've ever seen. Now he gets to the NFL. He has somewhat of a, some success with the Broncos. He is becomes a cult figure. Half the fans love him, half the fans hate him. But football's given him everything in his life. He's never had the chance to have an official retirement or to say goodbye. Tebow is also somebody that likes the attention, right? We know he likes that. So what this is Urban Meyer, his former coach, and Tebow's, I'm sure, said, look, this is what I'm thinking of doing, and this is how it's going to go. Tebow is going to show up. He's going to get a week or so, or maybe 10 days worth of storylines because people will talk about Tebow. It's the off season where you're not worried about reps or taking reps away from Chris Manhertz or anybody else like that. You're not worried about it. He's going to show. He may not even make it to pads, and he's going to get a week's worth of attention. And then at the end, he's going to say, "Yeah, I tried, but this is it for me. My NFL journey is over, and I'm going to retire from the National Football League." And he's going to have his final hero moment, which is what he wants. He wants to be able to retire and say goodbye and move on, because he never had the chance to, because he always thought he was still going to keep playing in the NFL. It didn't happen. He went to play baseball. Any other retirement thing would be weird. And like I say, go back to, he likes the attention. This was the chance to do it. His former college coach in the town he grew up in, where he became a legend, he's doing this so he can say goodbye. This story is not going to go more than 2 weeks if he winds up actually hitting the field with Jacksonville. That's how long it's going to go before he says, I've tried it. It's a young man's game. Whatever Tim Tebow's going to say when you say when you retire. And then he has his retirement moment and he moves on with the rest of his life. But that's why this is happening. So Urban Meyer's giving him a chance to say goodbye. This is not, I'm taking things away from other players, or I'm going to really try to make Tebow into a star because I really believe in him, even though he's going to be 34 years old and try to play as a tight end, a position he's never played before in any organized football team he's played for. That's not Urban Meyer may have some struggles getting into being a head coach, but this isn't going to be one of them. Now, I don't know that he saw the publicity angle may get be a little bit negative towards him. He probably thought, hey, it's Jacksonville, it's Tebow, this is going to be great. I'm helping him out. He's going to retire after a week or two, and then we're going to move on. So maybe he miscalculated that a bit, but it's May. And you're going to see Tebow come in, and that's exactly how it's going to play out. He was signed so he could retire. All right, you can't just go and retire as a one-day member of the Jaguars because he never played there. So he's going to go and do this for a little bit, and within 2 weeks, that's going to be his end game, is I signed so I could retire.
No, this is a beautiful thing, though, right? There's so many angles to it, and just the anger on so many sides is laughable, and y'all telling on yourselves with some of the stuff, and everybody looking to blow him up. Find some other way to get your anger management taken care of as you go. And if he gets on the field and he's there for the long haul, then he must have shown something of legitimacy, right? At least that's what we can assume. So cool. It's a cool comeback story. Who doesn't love a comeback story? If it's the 3 games to get his lifetime pension deal that he's worked out with Urban Meyer, that's great too. Urban Meyer's got a account in that locker room, and as long as the 53 guys in there are cool and it goes on, and you know what? They're all trying to fight for their place in the league and to rise up too. You know why? Because they're the Jaguars, okay? And they're all like, look, we may like DJ Chark and Marvin Jones comes over from Detroit. Some good thoughts for LaVisca Chenault Jr. James Robinson was a great story last year. And obviously that Lawrence guy, people are pretty excited about him and Etienne showing up. And that's all fine and good. But they're all worried about marking their own place. So worried about a guy who's the number 3, 4, 8 tight end. Who cares? And if all the press goes and runs at him, guess what? They get to go work in anonymity and get their reps in, get their different jugs gun sessions in, extra work with the quarterbacks, and everybody's leaving them the hell alone. That's not bad, right? That's not a bad way to go. You want to talk about a Vegas misdirection that can help you? Oh, by the way, is the sooner they can assign him a jersey number, the better too, because then everybody can start printing merch and making money there. And I'd just like to address the one last thing. You didn't really talk about it too much. Was the why didn't he go to tight end sooner? When you're 25 years old, do you listen to anything anybody's telling you about your career? I mean, in general. I mean, obviously some folks
I'm
take
50,
mentoring,
I don't listen to what people tell
right,
me.
Right, but some folks take mentoring very seriously, and I don't want to diminish that. But for the most part, if you, all your life things have gone right, you've been the number one guy, and that's where Tebow was, and everything seemed to work out for you, Hell, even that run with the Broncos. You want to talk about an unlikely convergence of circumstance, game after game after game, and yes, cover your ears, Smith. Marion Barber running out of bounds and giving you a chance against Chicago. But it's another point, and you know, Pittsburgh and the defense they played for the game-winning touchdown, all of that. It's the most unlikely set of game after game. Like, if you were betting on that as a parlay, you were laughing your way silly to the bank, but you might have also just kept going because it was so unlikely and started betting all sorts of other circumstances, like, hey, this just keeps it's raining pennies from heaven with all the different circumstances. But eventually you're coming to the closure, and as you say, saying goodbye now, hey, I can try as a tight end, doesn't sound so bad, right? The old Butch in Pulp Fiction, you hear that? That's pride blankety blankety blanking with you. Tim Tebow's on the road out, and this is the last haul, and he gets to do it in Florida. Who cares? Go on with your lives. There's so many other bigger things to fight about. Good Lord.
Well, and here's the other part of it is that when has somebody ever changed positions like that in the NFL and succeeded? It doesn't happen. I love a bit. Oh, you can't play quarterback in the NFL, but you could be a safety. You could be so the position that I've been playing my whole life, that I've worked my ass off to play my whole life, I can't play this, but you think I can easily just pick up another position because I'm an athlete? I mean, really? You think I can do that? I haven't played the entire. Tebow knows he can't do it. Nobody does. And any quarterback that comes into the league where teams say, we want to change your position, how long until that guy's out of the league? Right, so from that part, I get Tebow saying, I'm not changing my position because I'm not going to go play something I've never done because I can't do it because I've been trying my whole life to play quarterback. I'm not just going to be an NFL player at a different position. It doesn't work that way. Anytime people try to do things like that, it's stupid.
Taysom Hill alone.
Tebow was just looking for a way to say, how can I get into camp where I can actually just play somewhere for a couple weeks?
Yeah.
People say it would be a tight end. So, hey, if people said Tebow would be a great defensive end, he would try to go in at defensive end. If people said he'd be a great punter, they would try to go in as a punter.
Punt protection. Like,
how can I get – well, he actually did that with the Jets, and he was not great at it.
Well, come on back. Well, it was the Jets.
I mean, that is true. That the Jets can mess up many things, even punt protection. But even he knows, all right, where can I get in? How can I get my foot in the door so I can retire? That's all this is about with Tebow. He knows he's not going to make it. You know, no one's going to be able to change positions and do it.
If he does, I'm shipping in a jersey for you, though, buddy.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah, you know, why not? And then I'll watch Trevor Lawrence throw touchdown passes to Tim Tebow against the Jets. You know, that'll happen.
That kind of has to happen before he walks away, doesn't it?
And the fourth touchdown of the day, Lawrence hooks up with Tebow. The Jaguars lead the Jets 35-3. Now I went Vin Scully. I don't know why. What's wrong with you today?
Come on.
I don't know.
Come on, you got to focus.
Let's take time out from this fourth touchdown pass for Farmer John.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
National champion, Baylor national champion, Deb Carson.
That is right.
Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Champ is here.
And Sic'em Bears.
Did you do what I do? When Syracuse won, I just went out and bought all the national champion gear I could possibly buy. Like, I emptied my bank. I need that t-shirt and that hoodie. I need those pants. I need those sneakers. I need all of that. Did you go out and do all that?
I have got some stuff on the way. I don't have anything in my possession just yet. And I have a little bronze ticket coming my way.
Oh, so very nice.
You get
okay.
a commemorative ticket if you made a donation, obviously. So.
Oh, nice. Well, you know, Amazon ships pretty fast, Deb. You know, the game was a little bit ago. You know, you should probably have your stuff by now.
This is prize stuff. This is the next level.
Initially, it was just going to be a Final Four ticket. So I think once it became national championship, they changed the graphics on it. So we're waiting for those to come in.
Ah, okay, very good.
Because right. that's the new marketing thing, right? For any big event. Because I know the White Sox after the no hitter from Rodon, it's like, hey, if you'd like a commemorative ticket printed, because everything's on your phone now,
right?
So you can't get printed tickets. So now it's like, hey, for $30, we'll send you a fictional seat that you would have been in from that night. And so they're minting tons of these.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations,
that?
Deb.
Thank
Hopefully
you.
Your gear will there get there before the next season begins.
Yeah, I hope so.
Back to back.
Exactly, yeah. Let's just wait until next year and get a back-to-back.
Oh, okay, now I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. We're going to win again. We're going to win it. Wow, look at that. No.
Double up. I love it.
The Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon in for Doug. Now, this is something that started to gain a lot of popularity over the course of the last 24 hours. Now, Zach Wilson's mom, Jets' number two overall pick, made a lot of headlines at the NFL draft. Wow, look at her. She's incredibly attractive. She's fun. Hey, I want to know what Zach Wilson's mom has to say. Well, I don't know that that's such a great idea. Even Zach Wilson said, yeah, I kind of don't like the fact when my mom is out front, it's not my best thing. It's not my favorite thing in the world. He's actually had to unfollow her on Instagram. I mean, who unfollows your mom on Instagram? Why would something like that happen? Well, here was a post that was put up about 36 hours ago by Zach Wilson's mom about a vacation they had in Florida that, well, didn't kind of go their family's way.
We only made it about 4 hours today at Disney World because my family kind of hates amusement parks. First of all, it was harder than hell out there. Like, and Disney, you're kind of not going to lie.
Okay, so what she said there, it was hotter than, let's just say, a lady of the evening is where she wanted to say.
When she attends services.
Yes, exactly. Yes, very good. And that they were certain kind of mask blank people at Disneyland, yeah, making them wear masks everywhere. Now, here's something that I will always tell you is the truth. I don't know how long I'm going to keep doing radio and TV and all these things for, but there is one thing that will never change. And I will say this every single time this happens. Anytime an athlete's parent gets involved in a story, it's usually not good for the athlete. It's usually not good for anybody involved. And that goes whether it's NFL, whether it's basketball, whether it's Major League Baseball. Anytime there's something going on and an athlete's parent gets involved, it never works out. And you of course, default to LeVar Ball, which is like the dictionary definition of things.
Yeah, but look at how it's turned out for two of the three kids.
Yeah. Two of the three. Two of the three, it's been okay.
Hey, two out of three ain't bad. Meatloaf said it in song.
But normally that never is a good thing because it brings unwanted attention and it doesn't reflect well on the player. And now Zach Wilson has to sit here and answer questions about his mom and why she's on social media, saying things about Disneyland and throwing around words that we have to bleep out on the radio and on television. This is not going to work out well for Zach Wilson. Already the Jets have a Zach Wilson mom problem. And I mean it, the fact that he unfollowed his mom on Instagram, yeah. I mean, that's really something when you got to say, listen, I got to walk away from this.
Yeah, but here's the problem though. It's like, just because you walk away doesn't mean you're not going to be asked about it. So you might as well follow so you're at least getting it firsthand. Okay, I saw it. Now I know what I have to deal with when I talk to the beat reporters and meet with them. You can't put earmuffs on and think you're not the rest of the world's going to follow your lead. Hey, everybody, would you please unfollow my mom?
But here's the thing. Just using LeVar Ball example, if Lonzo Ball or LaMelo Ball just would have had one press conference saying, my dad just talks to talk. He my dad is my dad. I love him, but he has no influence on my career. I run my career, the team. I am all in on where I am right now. All they had to do is say that and people would say, okay, fine, we're good. All right. So, but now Zach Wilson's basically doing that. I mean, you could tell he's kind of at odds with her over this. You know, just first to say after the draft, I'm not crazy when she does this, and now I'm unfollowing her on Instagram. That's, you have issues. And like I said, whenever parents get involved, it's never good. And here's another shining example of it not being good. Now, I will say
doesn't mean the fish wraps ain't gonna love it and still follow. And Zach's not gonna have questions about it.
I'll tell you, it's
the guys in the locker room. So your mom.
So, dude, we got to talk about that. Listen, I'd rather go over the 7-on-7 drills. No. I'd rather go over red zone. No, we got to talk about your mom.
Don't forget, he's already still getting grief over the fact that he looked like he was raiding, an adult relative's closet for his draft look, or that he was readying for prom. Like, there's a whole other thing going on there that he's already taking heat for. Hey, look, you can't help it. You look young. What are you going to do? But add mom to the mix, and now, you've got a recipe for chaos.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Doug Gottlieb Show. Jason Smith, Mike Harmon in for Doug today. Coming up next, we get into a huge story in the NBA. Can the Lakers actually find a way out of the play-in tournament? But should they really want to? It's coming up next right here, Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, Jason Smith, Mike Harmon, in for Doug Gottlieb. And Doug does it every time, every day at this time. Welcome in Deb Carson. We have Game Time.
This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right, DC, what do you have for us?
What do we have, John Ramos?
Psychic.
Psychic. All right, guys.
Ooh, all right.
By the time the play-in tournament is finished, psychics, what do you think the Warriors will still be in? Will they be in the NBA playoffs?
No, the Warriors will not be in the playoffs because the Lakers will be in the play-in round. And with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, that will be enough to defeat the Golden State Warriors. I know that the Lakers don't want to wind up in, hey, it's 118-118, 35 seconds left. But no. That's not going to happen. The Lakers are too good for everybody else in the play-in tournament when they're healthy. The Lakers will win. The Warriors will go home.
You know what? I've been listening to the Mean Girls Broadway soundtrack with my kids a lot. And there's a line where they just yell, I want to watch the world burn. So, yeah, let's go with Steph Curry. Because then people will come to fight you. And I don't think the Lakers are healthy. This LeBron James stuff is making me just really take pause and wonder exactly how healthy he is. Warriors advance.
And I heard from a source that Jason Smith says Steph Curry is a system quarterback.
That's true.
Who said that? Oh, my goodness.
Flo Anthony.
Oh, wow. Steph Curry, system quarterback. There it is. He's overrated. Steph Curry.
All righty, psychic. So do you think the Lakers and Clippers will meet in the first round?
One, the Lakers better hope they don't meet in the first round. No, they're going to wind up. Look, the Lakers are going to wind up in the play-in round. We're going to know a little bit more tonight. But clearly the Lakers have an uphill battle. They got to win their last two. Dallas is going to win at least one of their last two. They have a very easy schedule. Portland's got a tough game, but who knows who's even playing, the final game of the season, for the Nuggets, depending on where they can move or not move in, the Western Conference. So I'm going to say no Lakers Clippers in the first round.
Nope, we get that battle in the play-in, so that'll be fun. And the Clippers and Chuck the Condor advance.
All righty, psych. It's moving over to the NFL. Do you think Tom Brady breaks the all-time passing yard record in week 4 when he returns to New England?
If he needs less than 300 yards, yes, because it's going to be a rude awakening for Brady going back to New England. As much as he wants that game, and Tom Brady's dad really wants that game, apparently, he's not going to like what Belichick's going to do to him, because as much as they want the game, Belichick wants to show you, hey, I'll show you how to shut Tom Brady down. That's a dangerous game for the Bucs, because I've watched Belichick do it to every single quarterback over the course of their careers. And as Brady, it's as simple as getting pressure on him. He throws the ball early, and he throws the ball low. And that's what's going to happen. They're going to find a way, because Belichick's always found a way. The team is much better this year. They've been waiting for this as long as Brady's been waiting for it. They hate each other. I'm going to take New England in that game, and I'm going to say if Brady needs less than 300, he'll get it. But if he needs a big game, it's not going to happen.
We have 271 more games for Jason to predict. Look, he needs 1154 yards to get to that total. You keep saying, hey, Belichick knows how to do this. He does that to kids. He does that to Jets quarterbacks. He ain't doing that to Tom Brady. All these other people have the blueprint that you keep citing. And you know what he does? All he does is win, Smith. much to your chagrin.
He did it to Peyton Manning his entire career, and Peyton Manning's one of the top five quarterbacks of all time. He's done it to everybody. He did it to Jared Goff in the Super Bowl.
It's Jared Goff!
See,
you put him and Peyton Manning in the same sentence.
I just wanted to see if I could slip that one by
you,
buddy.
By the way, Peyton Manning, if he saw pressure, he did that turtle move, like that toy on John Ramos' desk where you press that button and the legs crumble. That's what Manning's move was. Brady doesn't go down the same
way.
That's
game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
We'll see. I'll take the Patriots. I'll take the Patriots on the field. You can have the 3.5 points.
Thanks, buddy.
In that game. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. Coming up next, hey, speaking of the Lakers and the play-in round, are they going to the finals or will it be somebody else? Fox.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.